need for you to record on separate CD for me, please. Okay. I want to take just a few minutes before I dismiss the kids to a kid's place. And you can cut the lights up a little bit if you want to. I want to make sure, Bryce, if you check too, make sure every adult is in the room with us. I don't know why I've got such a burr under my saddle about making sure that everybody understands what we're doing and why we're doing it. I understand why that is important, okay? And I keep thinking that we're getting it, and yet it just keeps coming up in my spirit. So I'm just going to take a few minutes this morning to give you a broad stroke, brush stroke, to kind of encapsulate what's going on at Lamplight Church so that we're all on the same page. Sometimes when we travel, the trip can become so long that we lose sight of the joy and the purpose of why we started the ministry or why we started the journey. When I was a kid, we lived in different places all over North Carolina. My dad's parents lived, and my dad's side of family all lived on the eastern shore of Maryland. From most places that we lived, it was about a 13-hour drive to get to my grandparents on my father's side. Now, you have to understand that that was back in the day when there wasn't DVDs in cars. We didn't have iPods to listen to. We didn't have Game Boys. We didn't have FM. You know, it was just AM radio. And we played games like Four-Legged Animal, where one person would look out one window and one person would look out the other, and you'd see a four-legged animal and you'd start counting. You'd try to count more than the other person, but then you also had to watch their side of the road, because if you spotted a graveyard on the other side of the road and hollered out graveyard, you could bury all their animals and they'd have to start over again and you were winning. This is pre-DVD. You get it? So with three small children going 13 hours, my parents didn't start in the middle of the day. What they would do is my dad would sleep all day, and then we would leave at 9 or 10 or 11 o'clock at night, so that whenever the three of us woke up, we would be more than halfway there. You follow me? Because nobody wanted to be stuck in a car with three small children and none of the amenities that we have in the day and age in which we live. So the point I'm driving at is that we made accommodations to try to make the journey as pleasant as possible. But sometimes you get weary in just going where it is you really want to be. Are you with me? The journey we are on is one of the pursuit of God's face. It started... forgot I got to have the cursor up there. There it is. How did we get here? It started as a desire for God's presence, for Him to show His face physically among us. Now, I want everybody to be sure that you understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about goosebumps. I'm not talking about good feelings. I'm not talking about the hair standing up on my neck. Oh, I really enjoyed the presence of the Lord this morning. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the very presence of God that people we have read about experienced. Okay? When Moses went up on the mountain, he talked face to face with God. When he was called into the Holy of Holies, he talked face to face with God. That's what I'm talking about. I am in a pursuit that on this side of eternity to see God face to face. I believe that that is the reason why the veil was torn when Jesus died. Yes, it was to let us in, but it was also to let Him out. And what I'm believing God for is His very presence. When we started that pursuit, God spoke to me and said, to find my face, look in my grace. So we started a study on grace. And we started off with, for by grace are you saved? We started then asking the question, are you saved? And this is what we began to understand. We found that there's a big difference between grace and religion. Because religion is based on rules. Religion says do and don't. You cut your hair this way, you dress that way, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't do drugs, you don't hang out with those who do. You know, it's full, you don't cuss, you don't get angry, you don't. And that's what religion's all about. Religion, in its purest sense, is about control. That's what it's about. And in order to control people, what religion does is it sets up rules. But grace is based on relationship. That's what grace is all about. It's not a matter that I do something or don't do something in order to be saved. It's that I do something or don't do something because I am in relationship with Jesus. It isn't that I forgive people who hurt me because the Bible tells me I have to. But I want to because Jesus, because my unforgiveness interferes with my relationship with Jesus. Christianity is not about rules. It is about relationship. Now, the problem with that is that that is so vague that grace is so wide open that people begin to question, well, you know, how do I know if I'm doing the right thing or the wrong thing? If grace is about relationship rather than rules, all things are legal but not all things are expedient, then how do I know if I'm on the straight and narrow? How do I know if I'm doing the right thing? You know, how many of you are watching American Idol? You don't have to not lie about it. No. How many of you are watching American Idol? Okay, all righty. I think that show's hysterical myself personally. Here are these people coming in, for those of you not watching it. I mean, it is a talent search contest for singers. And all of these non-singers show up and are then insulted when someone says to them, you can't sing. That's because we have cultivated in our society a mindset that says, well, at least if you try, that's good enough. See, that's our problem. No child left behind. That's exactly right. And last week, one of the people came in, couldn't sing, and they said, you can't sing? And she goes, yeah, I know. And they said, well, why did you show up for a singing contest audition knowing you can't sing? She said, because if you would take me to Hollywood and if you would train me, I would be the first American Idol who couldn't sing, who was trained so that they could sing. Well, that doesn't even fit inside the rules. But you see, we live in an American culture where rules don't apply anymore. Just do your own thing and nobody's supposed to say anything bad about you. But let me tell you something. If you can't sing, if you are tone deaf, guess what? You are tone deaf. Deal with it. If you're tone deaf, then try dancing. Okay? But if you're like me, size 13s, both of them left, and absolutely zero rhythm, you don't see me dancing. But you see, that same mindset now is in the church. Oh, I'm a Christian. You're living like the devil. Well, but I'm doing the best I can. Well, guess what? That doesn't mean I got a good heart. I'm trying. I'm a good person. Thank you for helping me preach this. But I'm going to tell you something. On the day of, I think it's funny that on the American Idols, how many judges do they have? On the day of judgment, there's going to be three judges. And there's going to be a whole lot of people standing there going, "Hi, God. I'm a Christian." And God's going to go, "That's the most terrible thing I ever heard." And they're going to be going, "Oh, I can't believe he said that to me." Hey, guess what? God can say whatever he wants to. And not have to make apologies for it. Guess who owns American Idol? Exactly right. Who said that? Simon owns it. I don't know how many of you know that or not. Simon owns American Idol. He can tell you you stink, and guess what? He owns it. It's his show. That's exactly it. That's right too. All the winners record on his recording studio. The man's making a mint off of insulting people. I wished I had gotten that job. So grace is so wide open that we said, "Well, how do I know if I can sing or not?" We found that grace does have guidelines. The guidelines of grace are called the Ten Commandments, or I'll call them mile markers. And so we went through then a study of the Ten Commandments. Remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about, are you saved? Well, I think I am. Well, do you have any other gods? Do you have any graven images? Do you remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? Do you bear false witness? And on and on and on and on. These are the rails on each side that keep us hemmed into grace. And so we went weeks with the Ten Commandment boogie. We went weeks looking at the Ten Commandments and what the Ten Commandments say to us. From there, we went to the garden life, and we looked at Eve and her conversation with the devil, and we paused for a moment, and we thought about Eve. She never knew what sin was. She never knew the pain of childbirth. She got to see God every day. She lived in perfect harmony with zero stress. No emails, no phone calls, no bills to pay. No clothes to sew or fix. When her husband came in and said, "I'm hungry," she said, "The tree's outside." Right? Amen. But there was something inside of her that when the enemy said, "Did God say?" And then he came back with, "Well, yeah, that's what God said, but this is what God really meant." He tapped into what I called a lack of trust in God. Now, if Eve had it in the garden, I promise you on this side of the garden, you got it. And so we looked at this lack of trust, and we asked ourselves the question, how then can I or do I go about trusting God? My answer was this. You go back and you look at not only what God has done, but why God did it. So what we did was we turned right back around from the garden, ran back to Mount Sinai, and we started last week with commandment number one, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And we didn't talk about the commandment. What we talked about, why did God give us this commandment? What was the motivation out of God's heart that motivated God to give us the commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me"? And this is what we found out about commandment number one. The reason why we have it is because we got too much junk in the garage while our car is parked in the driveway. See, God said, don't have any other gods before me. But our lives are like the garages at our homes. And at your house, if you took everything you had and sold it for its full value, it probably wouldn't equal the value of the car you leave parked in the driveway. But we don't get rid of the junk to protect the car. God said, don't have any other gods. Don't have your garage life so full of all this other junk that the stuff that's important gets left out. And so God appeared to the children on the mountain and he said, wash your clothes, abstain from relationships with your husband and wife, come on this particular day, only come so far. What he was doing was he was giving us organizational instructions on how to get the mess out of our cars. Because how many of you, if you thought to yourself, you know what many of us think to ourselves, you know, I need to clean my house out. And then the second thought that crosses our mind is, I'm overwhelmed to think about having to clean my house out. And so guess what happens? We don't do anything. See? That's the way it is. It's like, well, I'd clean out my garage, but where would I put all that stuff? You ever heard of the Salvation Army? Have you heard of a dumpster? Have you heard of a weenie roast? But you see, we would rather do nothing than to be forced to do something. And we have all of these other gods in our lives, pursuits, ambitions, dreams, accomplishments we want to make, things that are a priority to us, while God's parked outside. You follow me? That's how we got to where we're... Now, today we're going to talk about commandment number 2. Thou shalt not have any graven images. But that's how we got to where we are. That's the big picture. Okay? Because the banner over all the things we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is grace. That's the banner over all the things we're talking about. Because in order to find God's face, we have to look inside of His grace. And that's where we're looking, is in His grace. And when we finish this, we're going to. But, you know, when we finish this, I don't know what we're going to do. We will find that out when we finish this. Okay? Anybody got a question? That's it, Keith. All right, kids going to a kid's place. Walk this way. Hey, big boy.